I am like the roaring lion in the dream. My roaring will wake you up from this dream unto reality.
This is The Lion's Roar, the Dear Sai podcast all about understanding the teachings of Sathya Sai Baba in their truest form.
Sai Ram, I'm Dakshina, and today we're going to discuss how to be the best gatekeeper. Not of our houses, of our senses. Don't worry, there are going to be some epic stories along the way.
Episode 4, Input Regulation and Anklet Verification.
Over the past 3 episodes, we've seen how each concept that Swami introduces fits in so perfectly on top of the previous one. It's like having our very own Lego masterpiece. What we're about to look at today relies heavily on what we've seen previously. So before we begin, let's do a quick recap of the story so far. Now, just like any Lego creation, the foundation was laid at the very beginning, with Swami's expectation that we should strive to realize our innate divinity. Through the process of refinement, we can convert our humanness into divinity. Swami then went on to explain that we cannot work on something we don't understand. What's the first step to gaining that understanding, you ask? It's unlearning what we think we know and challenging the idea that we are this body. We then went on to look at how this body is basically like clothes that we put on and an instrument that needs to be used correctly. We took a deep dive into the karma theory and how good thoughts and bad thoughts give us a 100% return on how there are no exchanges or refunds with this unchangeable law. With me so far? Let's get started with today's episode. We take such great care in securing our homes. We've got bolts on our gates, locks on our doors, alarm systems, and these days, even smart home security kits. All to keep our home and its contents safe. But you know, there are 5 gateways we've totally overlooked. We seem to not mind leaving these open and unguarded. Those 5 gateways are our 5 senses. Everybody and everything has a free pass to roam in and out as they please. Really, there is so much more at stake here. There should be toll roads to get to the gate, security guards to protect it, and iron gates to ensure no unwanted guest gets in. Swami builds on the concept of the body being a temple by explaining that the temple has many gates and they are intended to only let in devotees who want to worship the Lord inside. In the same way, we should be careful and use our discrimination in deciding what we take in through our senses. Swami explains what is required. Those who wish to use the body properly and ensure that they entertain good thoughts, perform good acts, and reap good results should meticulously follow 2 things: regulation of diet and regulation of living habits. We need to make the effort to sow the seeds of good thoughts in this field called the body so that it is fit for its true purpose, to be a temple of God. You might be thinking, how do we cultivate good thoughts? The output is directly related to the input. Our thoughts are the result of the type of food we eat and the activities we take part in. Let's look at the regulation of our food habits first. Swami stresses that just because we are hungry, it doesn't mean that we should satisfy our hunger with any type of food. Knowing that the kind of food we consume determines our thoughts, we should only consume pure or sattvic food and avoid food that inflames passions. Swami clarifies that by food, he is not just referring to food consumed through our mouth. He is referring to any input through all 5 senses. There is no point gating just one entrance. Let's look at an excerpt from the discourse. What is consumed by our mouth is not the only food that enters the body. The other sense organs, like the eyes, the ears, the nose, and the hands, also consume objects from the external world. Hence, just because a person takes fruits and milk through one of the five sense organs, he cannot claim to have taken pure food, unless the food taken by him through all the five senses is pure in nature. Through the eyes, you have to see only what is pure. To see all kinds of things indiscriminately will spell disaster. The power of sight should be used only for sacred purposes. Our senses are active all day, and interestingly, until reading this, it didn't occur to me that I should think twice about what my eyes see. Swami says, the vision of you today is like that of Kichika. Wondering who Kichika is? Well, let me tell you the story. In the Mahabharata, Kichika, who was the commander-in-chief, became attracted to Draupadi, who at the time was disguised as an attendant to the queen. Kichika made persistent efforts towards Draupadi, but she continually rejected him. The situation was becoming unbearable for Draupadi, and she confided in Bhima one night. Bhima created a plan and told her,
"Ask Kichika to meet you alone in the theatre tomorrow night."
Now, as you can imagine, that night didn't end well for Kichika, who was killed by Bhima. Although this example is a bit intense for the 21st century, the point Swami is trying to make is that just because we have eyes doesn't mean we should use it indiscriminately. If we do, we'll end up with the same fate as Kichika. So how do we use our sight? Lakshmana shows us the right way. Let's jump to the Ramayana. When Ravana abducted Sita, Rama and Lakshmana went on this massive quest to find her. After some epic hurdles, the two of them met Sugriva, the Monkey King. When Sugriva heard about Sita's abduction, he remembered seeing a lady screaming in distress, being taken away by Ravana. She dropped a bundle of her jewels on the mountain, seeing the monkey seated there. Sugriva bought the bundle and showed it to Rama and Lakshmana, asking them to identify if it was Sita's. Rama opened the bundle and was so overwhelmed with grief looking at its contents that he actually fell unconscious. With great difficulty, Hanuman brought him back to consciousness. Rama then passed the bundle to Lakshmana, asking him to identify if the ornaments were indeed his Sita's. Lakshmana's reply is one that Swami has narrated again and again in numerous discourses. Lakshmana says, "I don't know if these bracelets are Sita's. I can't even tell you if the earrings belong to her. These anklets, though, I know are hers. Every morning when I went to receive her blessings, I would fall at her feet and notice these very anklets." Oh my gosh! Lakshmana accompanied Sita and Rama every day in the forest for 13 years and had never even closely observed her face? Wow! This is nobility. Lakshmana did not let his guard down, not even once. He was so careful not to let his mind wander behind his eyes. This story shows the sincerity behind Lakshmana's character, whose only purpose was to serve Sita and Rama, who he saw as his parents. Through both these stories, we can see that it is not possible to stop the eyes from seeing what it sees, but it is possible to be alert and constantly keep in mind that whatever we see is divine. Basically, not leaving the gate unguarded. Okay, so we've looked at the regulation of the senses. Now let's move on to the regulation of living habits. I'll read out another excerpt from the discourse. "You must consider seriously what sort of places you visit, the environment in which you should live, and what type of persons you associate yourselves with. Tell me your company, and I shall tell you what you are. You should avoid all bad company, because your thoughts are influenced by the company you keep." We do need to be careful about our environment and who we are around, but we shouldn't take this to an extreme. Swami cautions that simply manipulating our surroundings to our liking only tricks us into thinking that we have achieved sense control when we really haven't. For example, we may be tranquil in solitude, but when we are back in society, we are still that same person. We've now added two more building blocks to our Lego masterpiece: regulation of food and regulation of living habits. Hold on to them. We're going to add more to it next week. Until then, stay rawsome.
You're a